This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
John Fogerty, center field. Wes is ready for some baseball, huh? Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. What are you doing to protect your family's assets? The sponsor of our show, Condorian Murad, a law firm based out of Fairfax, would like to know. They're going to help you to draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Danny, looking back at the Commanders game against the Dolphins, I wanted to go through some of the notes, kind of empty out the notebook here on some things we didn't talk about. So we didn't go game balls and gassers today. We were too busy at Nats Park talking to the new manager and the president of baseball ops and the James Franklin news. But I'll give you some things that impressed me during the game.
Okay.
Get your take on some of this. I thought Jordan McGee in space was awesome. He made 2 tackles of Devin Achane, where Achane was one of the most elusive, speedy, dynamic backs out of the backfield in the sport. Had as much space as like Bijan Robinson did against Bobby Wagner. And instead of turning it into blowing past him, Jordan McGee got him on the ground by himself.
Good catch on that one.
He also had a tackle on Dolcich, the tight end.
Is that the one I'm talking about on McGee? Sorry, just to stay on that one. Was that Achane catches it sort of facing back towards the quarterback, turns and is going to start to run, and McGee was there to bring him down, didn't let him accelerate?
There were 2 times where on an island, by himself, in space, Achane caught a pass, and McGee flew into your screen and got him to the ground without help.
Mm-hmm.
What you're referencing sounds like one of the 2 of them. But they don't have linebackers who can do that against running backs like Achane. Bobby Wagner cannot do it. Frankie Louvu cannot do it. And until Jordan McGee started playing more, they were 0-for at the position. So I just thought seeing him run and hit the way he has, I'm putting him in my that impressed me pile.
I'll take it. Yeah, we need a little bit more of that, right?
Chris Rodriguez at running back. Ran through tackles. Successful statistical game where he averaged 5 a pop. 15 for 79. The 17-yard run where he made the jump cut from outside of left tackle back in toward left guard and then found a little crease Bill style and got up the field. I didn't know he had that club in the bag because he's more of a mauler. But, man, did he have what I perceive to have been a game that will get him a lot more carries going forward.
You would think so. The things that I generally care about with running backs when it comes to carrying the football, I want the negative or the 0 turned into something. He had one of those. He had one of the most impressive 4-yard runs you're ever going to see, right, where he was hitting the backfield, bounced around, spun off of somebody, trucked 2 different dudes, and carried 3 people forward for 4. Taking those negatives and staying ahead of the sticks, really impressive to me. He runs with authority. He runs kind of – reminds me, honestly, of an old-school Shanahan running back, right, where the it's 1 cut, get upfield, nothing fancy, just sort of here to get my pad level low and plow forward. You can use that.
Jacob Martin had a sack of Tua, where he gave great pursuit. Tua left the pocket. He comes flying behind him, and he, like, takes his arm and chops at his feet and just barely gets him to the ground. By the way, it was on a third down in the red zone, and I'm talking about, like, low red, too. I mean, he's getting down toward the goal line, and it turned into a field goal opportunity. For Jacob Martin, it was sack number 4.5 for him on the season, which gives him a career high. This is a guy that's pinballed around the league since 2018. He's been in Seattle, Houston, the Jets, the Broncos, the Colts, the Bears. He's on a different team every year. He might have found a home here at 30 years old. I really like how he plays.
You notice him almost all the time, right? It just seems like even if he's not there making the tackle, he's forcing action to go back a different way, or he's in pursuit. I couldn't tell you every time if he's assignment sound or if he's doing everything right, but he flashes, and that's kind of all I'm after at this point when we're on defensive end number, what, 5?
He is, to me, currently their best pass rusher. I know Von Miller is a Hall of Famer, and he'll hit a sack in this game. Like, Von's going to end up getting a few more as the year goes on. But consistently, in terms of pocket pushing and collapsing and just being noticeable, rushing the quarterback, I think that Jacob Martin has been their most successful guy since Armstrong went down.
Leads the team in quarterback hits. It stands to reason. I mean, that fits. I mean,
For the season,
that's
surprising.
He is number one. Now, granted, that's not a steep competition. Everyone else has been hurt. Miller's too, but he in a part-time role that's now kind of graduated to more full-time, it's pretty impressive.
All right, here's a guy that I thought quietly had a decent game. These are some of the players and things that impressed us during Commanders-Dolphins, albeit in what was a sixth consecutive loss. Eddie Goldman in the run game flashed like a strobe light. He had two TFLs that were very, very noticeable. One of them was on the goal line at the one-yard line. But I thought Eddie Goldman, this is why you bring him out of retirement for the second time, where he multiple times has left the league and come back. He's this gigantic person, the size of a vehicle, can't be blocked. You got to double him. And he just showed up, you know, in the backfield 3-4 times, twice, made the stop himself. I thought the goal line play he made in his limited work was good enough to put him on like a good pile, but there were 3 or 4 other reps, including another TFL, that were really good.
Yeah, I remember the goal line play in, I want to say it was the third quarter, and before that it was a TFL off Devin Achane where you're going, all right, they've given it to Devin Achane, let's all back up 15 yards because that's where the play's going to end up. And he kind of knifed through there, sort of didn't look like that smart car, right? Just kind of made himself skinny for a second and bulldozed the play and blew it up.
Jonathan Jones corner blitz from the slot. Really well executed, well called by Dan Quinn. Where in the heck has that been?
Yeah.
And I don't just mean that blitz itself, but anything exotic or different or unique that teams hadn't seen. We have seen all their A-gap mugging and the Wagner and the Luvu downhill stuff. When's the last time you remember seeing, damn, Trey Amos just came off the edge? Like, that had to be either a philosophical shift this week, coincidental to Quinn calling plays, or a DQ thing, because we have not seen that one time to my knowledge.
Totally right. And this is what I'm asking for. If it's a disaster, you're afraid of it being a disaster. You've already got disaster covered. You feel like you can't blitz because you guys can't cover. Well, you're already giving up big stuff down the field anyway. You got to do something different. Quit beating your head against the wall, kind of doing the same thing. You've seen Frankie Louvu walk down, stand up over the right tackle and try to get upfield and pass rush. As you said, they've exhausted kind of their regular conventional things. Get unconventional. Do stuff the teams haven't seen on film. Try to catch them napping, and they did. That was awesome.
So I'm going to put an asterisk on this thing that impressed me, because this probably has less to do with the players at this point and more to do with scheme and coaching. But I thought Chase Edmonds was awesome on kick returns, and he almost broke a couple. Every single week, it doesn't matter who's been back there. It was Debo for a month. Well, we got to have Debo back there. He's too much of a weapon. Then it was McCaffrey, and McCaffrey was leading the NFL in kick returns. Then he got hurt. Now it's Chase Edmonds. But Edmonds in this game had a 24-yard return to the 28. He had a 29-yard return to the 41. He had a 26-yard return to the 30 with a shoelace tackle that kept him from really breaking it out the gate. This was his first game after being elevated from the practice squad. I mean, what they've done in the return game, like, Larry Izzo's got something figured out.
I'm now team Larry Izzo. Because I remember in I was called it spring training, the preseason, where they couldn't cover kicks very well, and it was a disaster the beginning of every game or the first time they kick off, whatever, there'd be a huge return against them and the like. They've since tightened that up and been very good in that area for the most part, I would say. Punt, you know, you're always pretty darn reliable when it comes to Tressler Way, hitting it with a lot of hang time, and guys have done pretty good in that regard. And their returns, as you said, it has not mattered who's been back there, except when Jalen Lynn, like, fumbles out of bounds or makes bad decisions. Other than that, a guy that's caught it and run forward has done a really, really good job. They've got it blocked up. They've got a good scheme. They've got good design.
Deebo Samuel was back. This was the best Deebo Samuel has looked probably since the first month of the season. His numbers in this game resembled the first several weeks when he was getting going against, you know, 7 for 77 against the Giants, 6 for 72 against the Falcons, 8 for 96 against the Chargers, 7 for 74 in this game. He's got touchdowns in two straight weeks. He's got 5 on the season, but 7 for 74 on 8 targets. This was his best game since at the Chargers, which was the last time they won, by the way, 7 games ago. And we've talked about this. Deebo is not going to route you up. Deebo is not some traditional wide receiver who is a separator. Deebo Samuel is a guy, not unlike a running back, you need to get the ball in space. You need to get him the ball. He's a truck. He needs to be warmed up, like idle through the neighborhood for a little while before you hit the gas pedal. And when he's coming downhill on that center screen, which was a perfect call by
Cliff. I'm sitting here waiting to talk about it as soon as you were done. No, but that was it.
Jump in.
The design I thought was outstanding on this, and this is kind of the point. Again, we've done the regular bubble. We've done the regular thing. All the eye candy, everybody looking towards that sideline where it looks like Debo's going to wander out and be one of the blockers, right, where you've got a tight end out there, I think, maybe another receiver kind of got upfield, and lo and behold, as everybody's eyes are moving sort of to the defense's left, there's Deebo Samuel sneaking back underneath. No, no, look at the other side of the field. Now those guys are out in front. The design was to go back across the field once he catches that middle screen. That's the counter to the counter. I love that sort of stuff from Cliff Kingsbury. Too few and far between here, especially during the stretch.
He did a lot of it last year. They did a lot of it early in the year. We've seen very little of it lately. But
that was beautiful.
You can tell after the catch with a little bit of space, like 2 yards into that play, here we go.
Here's the burst. Yep, he's
Deebo.
Got it.
And it's the same thing that he did in San Fran. You can see it at the start. It's either going to work or it's not. That one is very much alive on arrival, and it's going to be a big play. But I thought he had some of that juice back. And then another thing, last thing I'll say here, impressed by list, goal line stands. They had two of them. The first one, Frankie Louvu and Jeremy Reeves made a big stop on third down. Bobby Wagner made a diving stop with a PBU, the only pass breakup of the game, by the way. But he had a PBU in the end zone on the waddle throw.
It was a great play.
Really nice play by Wagner. And then on fourth down,
that was the fourth down play.
On the fourth down, right. But on the second goal line stand on fourth down, Goldman and Frankie Louvu blow it up in the backfield. On third down, Javon Kinlaw made his best play of the game, where he just literally throws a guy like he's me. Now, you were joking the other day that Javon Kinlaw could fold you up like a chair.
Yes.
He acted like that was you, folding you up like a chair, tossing it to the side like a shirt that you just took off, and then he just tackles a dude on third down. So those two goal line stands, which both ended up giving them a chance, were huge. I was really impressed by how the defense stood tall there.
So it felt just as much like Miami kept opening the door with like a little bit of a botch or a little bit of lack of execution or something, or maybe a bad design down there. But you give Washington credit for kicking that door down. Right? I mean, I think a better team probably scores there, but you weren't playing a better team. You're playing that one. And that was something to build on potentially for those guys down close to the goal line.
All right, so that was me emptying my notebook. You give me what else are you adding here? What impressed?
Very little. You covered Chris Rodriguez. That was the thing that stood out to me the most. He was one, and getting the ball to Jeremy McNichols, too. Not in terms of handing the ball off to him, but knowing where that check down is. Again, he had I can't remember which game it was. It's been so long. But there was a situation where this is a give up. It's third and 10. You flip it to McNichols 2 yards down the field. He's boxed in. There are three defenders closing on him. And you look up, and now we're moving the chains. You've seen him do that enough times. I want some of that early down. We used to talk about this all the time, and I love Jay Gruden to death having him on. But it was, okay, now it's third down. Here comes Chris Thompson. What about first down, Chris Thompson, where you just flip him the football, stay ahead of the chains, get yourself 5 or 6 yards by some early down running back passing? I could use more early McNichols. He was so good in kind of those moments. He kind of gives you what Deebo Samuel does.
Before we get to Don't Forget About, I wanted to get into coaching, starting with Dan Quinn. Some good from Dan Quinn yesterday, taking over the defensive play calling, they had their best game in several weeks. There is the context of the Dolphins not being as good as some of the recent offenses they've played. And Tua is the worst quarterback they've played during this losing streak, really, if you look at it. I mean, the gauntlet, clearly, you know, Darnold, you can make the case as Tua-esque, but is playing at a much higher level and a much better offense, and that night lit it up. But Darnold and Goff and Mahomes and Dak Prescott, like, playing Tua is a level down, especially with what that offense has been this season. But they still played a lot better. It was a skeleton crew. They played inspired ball. They looked like they were responding to what Dan Quinn was doing. And how about his energy? You know, he had been more Rivera-esque on the sideline, where he kind of stands there and he's not as engaged because he's a head coach doing everything. How many times did they cut away to him and he's like jumping out on the field and doing chest bumps with
dudes?
Yeah,
he's got two arms up like his kid Homer to Little League.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But he was like, you know, really getting into it with the guys, which I liked seeing some of that energy. I love that they went for it off 4th-and-1 in minus territory on the first drive. They got it on, lo and behold, be still my beating heart, an under-center play action play like a real NFL offense, and they go on to get a field goal. The corner blitz we talked about on third down, I put in the good column for Quinn as a play caller. A bad column, end of first half. They had a 1st-and-10 from the 17-yard line with 107 to go. And at 31 seconds, they got their next snap almost 40 seconds later, and they ran the ball for 2 yards. Now, I understand that there's probably a situation where you want to run some clock. I don't think you need to run that much clock. And then I didn't understand why they ran it for two. Now all of a sudden, you got to burn a timeout. It's 2nd-and-8. You're behind the sticks, and you just stopped the clock for Miami. So I thought that whole sequence was weird. And that was just the first of two halves that they botched. Because the end of the game is even weirder. We talked about it earlier, but 28-yard completion to Debo. There's 1:35 on the clock when he's tackled. Your next snap comes 20 seconds later. There's zero urgency. The fastest tempo team, the best no-huddle team that does it more than anybody else in the whole league, and you let 20 seconds go off the clock. You run it for 1 yard. It was as if they couldn't get a play into the helmet or something, and they just had to run something, or they were worried about a challenge almost. They weren't, but you give me a better reason. I didn't get it. Then it's 2nd-and-9. The Dolphins call a timeout, which made no sense. Then you throw it for only 3 yards, and Ertz goes to the ground with 106 to go, which made no sense. Then Miami called another timeout, which still didn't make a lot of sense. And then, after all that, you kind of stub your toe playing against this bad team into, from futility to something that worked, this whip route, 25 yards, Jacoby Jones has been on your team for 6 seconds, and you're 1st-and-10 from the 40, and you proceed with 57 seconds to play at the 40-yard line to run for 2 yards, then nearly throw an interception, then go for it all on a deep shot and settle for a 56-yard field goal 42 seconds later. It was just a really, really ugly coaching sequence.
It was disjointed, right? Because Miami muddled up with their own decision-making, I think, to a degree, and, you know, you kind of, you'd love a directive. Here's what we're going for, right? Let's get this ball to the 30 and get out of here with a win. Or, hey, let's catch them by surprise and you know, a little play action, go over the top and maybe have a walk-off touchdown. Not exactly walk-off, but you know what I mean. It just sort of felt like, okay, now let's try this. Now let's try that. It just didn't feel like there was an approach there. Like maybe Cliff and Dan Quinn hadn't exactly spoken about what they wanted to do that possession.
Cliff, let's talk Cliff for a second. Early quick game with Marcus Mariota, I thought was really successful, smart, good. Mariota's great at that, by the way.
Yes, he is.
He's decisive, ball comes out, throws to the right guy.
That little Chris Moore seam piece I thought was just, that's vintage Mariota.
The first play of the game?
Was it the first play?
Or the dig in, a little bit later.
Maybe a little bit later. But there was one where
there was a 19-yard completion that he got middle of the field.
It was that one. Was that the first play?
And there was a 9-yarder to Moore on the first play of the game.
So I think it was the 19-yarder. But it was I don't even know if he had time to get the laces because the ball was out so fast. It was snap, 1, 2, 3, bang. And it was like, that's who Mariota is to me.
Yeah, in quick game specifically, though, to what I was kind of referencing, it was just out to the edges and fast. I mean, why ask your O-line to hold up if you don't have to?
Right.
And ideally, as Jaden, and he wasn't there, but as he's watching this game at home, he sees that and he goes, let's take layups, man. Mariota takes layups, dumping the ball down. Thought that was really healthy. 4th-and-1 under center play action to the tight end out of the backfield. That was really good to see. How about the screen game in this game from Cliff Kingsbury? Best the screen game's looked in a while, no?
Yep, 100%.
I mean, on the first drive, they had a really well-designed running back screen that kind of set the table. I like the call. I know you hate some of the quarterback runs, and they haven't worked. You've been on that all year. You've nailed that, I think. That second and six draw for Mariota where he gets five, though, that was so perfectly set up and called.
Yes, it was.
Mariota slid short of the sticks. I thought he could have maybe picked it up. But he's very careful and should be because he's a backup. And if he goes down, it's Josh Johnson and Sam Hansen. And you got to keep him on the field because those other guys you don't want to play. But I love that draw. Cliff tried something new. Brandon Coleman got out there as an extra tackle, pushing people around. That worked in the run game. And then you already hit on the wide receiver center screen to Debo that went for a touchdown perfectly designed and called.
I love that. Again, it's they're big plays. Remember the Terry McLaurin play that he actually got hurt on, but it's the counter to the counter, right, where everybody now sort of you think you see it. You got to have the right feel. It's more art than it is science as to when you call it. But it's the everybody, it looks like you sell this. This is yet another screen, yet another bubble, yet another tunnel, yet another whatever. And you leak somebody out or whatever. Reminds me of that Kyle Shanahan tight end throwback play that used to be able to run all the time. You'd find your slowest tight end and have him kind of wander around like Billy Bob in Varsity Blues. But those kinds of plays, when you struggle to just create separation normally, are essential.
All right, that'll do it. That's the emptying of the notebook for you there.
Which indeed
allows us then to tell you about the breaking news of the day. So you know that Matt Gay got cut earlier today. The kicker that they have signed to replace him, Danny, 25-year-old Jake Moody, the former third-round pick. The 49ers in a year where they were like Adam Peters-esque. I guess it's funny that he came from there and was there for that draft class. But it was like Washington this year and last year. They had no picks. They used one of them on a third-round kicker. That's how good they thought they were. And they were, essentially, at the time. But Moody ended up being a bust as a 99th overall pick. Last year, not good for San Francisco in his sophomore season. He ends up moving on this year to Chicago. And he kicked his first game with the Bears, 4-for-5 against Washington, made 4 field goals, including the game winner as time expired on that Monday night game.
So they know him well.
In Landover. So they watched him do that. He's 9-for-12 on the season. Big leg, great college kicker at Michigan. That's how you get drafted in the third round. But he has been very inconsistent in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, you look no further than, as you said, 2024. What I care about most, I know we're now on the 50-yarders, 6-for-11 last year from 40 to 49. That's the emergency alert. That's why you cut somebody. That's why you go, we can't do this anymore, even though we drafted him pretty high, especially by kicker standards. So he's bouncing around, and he'll have a chance to come in here for a team that's not going anywhere and try to kick his little heart out to see if he can stick.
You're about to ride the kicker roller coaster potentially. But if it goes well and he gets hot here, a lot of times with kickers, like the guys that you think are going to be good early on do end up being good.
Just takes a minute.
Yeah, it takes a team or two. And Washington's been the first team that learned the tough lesson over and over again. How many guys like Graham Gano and David Akers and Dustin Hopkins and Sean Sweezum and so many others came through here, and then you ended up watching them for 12, 14 years go kick in other places. So maybe they could be the Reclamation Society for once. And Jake Moody with that big leg, a former third-round pick, comes in here and becomes the answer. And Lord knows, if you're Dan Quinn or Adam Peters, you're begging that he is. This is the eighth different kicker that they have brought in. Now, they haven't had eight guys kicking games, so that stat's a little bit quirky. Some of those guys, like Ramiz Ahmed, were just kickers in training camp or whatever. But they have signed and worked out with the plans of possibly having them be their kicker. Eight different guys, with Jake Moody being number eight now.
That is their Eleanor at this point, right? That is wild. That has not happened. I mean, they thought that it solved, and we know how we got here, but here we are.
They got probably more than one Eleanor, unfortunately, on this roster.
I suppose, yeah.
At this point, that's how you get to 3-8. All right, let's get you a Caps power play.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your Kings in town tonight, the Los Angeles Kings in town. The Capitals in an unfamiliar spot here, GP. That's your last place team in the Metropolitan Division. The Kings, on the other hand, 10-5-4, the best record in the Pacific. I believe the third best record in the Western Conference. But a tough test against a team that doesn't give up very many goals.
Yeah, and the Caps don't either. Lowest total at even strength in the National Hockey League. They got the best goalie in the sport in Logan Thompson. They've had scoring problems and special teams problems. But two wins in their last 10, as you said. If they can leave that in the rear view and stack some wins, you could climb the division pretty quickly. There was a point last week where they hopped over three teams with one win, and everybody's kind of jumbled up. So if you could rip off three or four in a row, you'd be right back in the postseason mix. But it's getting late early here. They're a quarter way through the year.
It's great. By the way, that's nuts. Yes. It's already that. But, yeah, I mean, at a certain point, good teams play good. So, like, let's get that going and put some of these fears to rest.
Big one tonight. That's your Caps power play. Got to thank everybody over here at Nats Park who made today possible, including our producer, Staris Dameron, and our engineer, Metal Chris. The Nationals were very helpful in getting us the president of baseball ops, Paul Taboni, and manager, Blake Butera, as well. If you missed either of those interviews today, as Butera was introduced to the media, you can podcast this show wherever you get your audio as soon as we are done. There's also a brand new episode of Take Command, breaking down the Commanders and the Dolphins, available for you for your listening enjoyment as you browse all things audio this evening. For Danny, I'm Grant, saying so long. Thanks to the fellas back in studio, Wes and Ryan. Appreciate everybody checking us out. We're back at it at 2 o'clock tomorrow on GND.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well,
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.